Mr. John Paul Morosi. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Dean and George. I got to tell you, I need to own it. This year, my Stanley Cup pick will not come to pass. I had the Caps over the Wild, so I'm officially out. My tenure as a hockey soothsayer is done after 1 year.
You know, and no offense to you, because you're Harvard-educated, very bright guy, you know your baseball inside out. I don't know that anyone may have had those two in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, this is because last year I picked the Kings over the Rangers and was mocked and turned out being correct. So my philosophy on predictions, especially in the sports I do not cover, is that you've got to be bold, because what's the fun of saying, I think the Cavs will be good this year in basketball? I mean, that to me, there's no fun in that. So you got to be a little bit bold. And, hey, Holtby, I thought Holtby would be great. He was great. He just wasn't great enough.
You know, you can translate that into your prediction at the start of the season for the AL East. You said the Jays would win it out, and they're struggling a little bit.
Did I really?
Yeah, right here. I did.
I said that. I said that to you guys in person, so I can't exactly back away from that now. You guys actually saw me say those words.
Yeah, we did. You were sitting right next to me, literally 2 feet away from me, and we had this wonderful conversation. We were like, they're going to win the AL East. They'll be back here in September, boys. We're going to go to some playoff games together. And I'm like, all right, we'll go see a game with John Paul Morosi. You can explain the cutter and the curve and all his other. But struggling, they've lost 2 of 3. I pointed out this morning, and I don't know if you agree or disagree with this, but this is largely, you know, to be where they're at, even just a game below 500, to be treading water, and I do understand how brutal the AL East is, but to be treading water and to still be kind of right there with really a MASH unit of sorts is a good sign for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Well, it's encouraging, and you're right. It is impressive on a certain level what they've done, because their rotation statistically is one of the worst in the game. So this is on that level pretty surprising that they're where they're at. That being said, it's going to be hard for them, I think, to climb much above 500 until the rotation gets better. And yesterday was tough again. Sanchez, I like his long-term potential, but again, only one strikeout. He is just not striking out enough batters, and he's walking too many. So for all the guys they've already sent to the minor leagues that were on the club to start the season, all the promising rookies, you know, Sanchez, he's been able to hang around, but I think it's going to be a challenge for him as the season goes along, unless those ratios come into better focus here. He's just walking too many guys and not striking out enough. And Hutchinson, obviously, last time out was good. Tonight he has to be just as good, because he really, right now, at this point in time, is the ace of the staff. And they have to win the games behind him if they want to have any chance to make the playoffs.
John, obviously still too early. A lot of every team still thinks they're in it. But what's the earliest Blue Jay fans can look around the time frame that maybe they go out there and acquire a starting pitcher? When can Alex Anthopoulos jump the market?
Well, it's a great question, George, because traditionally the Jays haven't really added at the deadline. You go back in recent 5-6 years, they have not really been able to make those big-time acquisitions at the deadline. So if they do it now, it'll be a departure from where they've been in recent years. But typically, I would say the latter part of June into July is when you see that market start to formulate a little bit. So they're pretty much on their own for at least the next 5 to 6 weeks. And even then, if they added, it would be a change from what they've done in the past. So this is a team that I think they have to get. As I mentioned, from Hutchinson, he has to be good. But really, the veterans have to carry them here. Dickey and Burley need to be really good through the middle part of this season, because you talk about Sanchez, his youth. Estrada, obviously, is a swing guy that they didn't really think enough of to have in the rotation at the start of the season. So, realistically, those three guys that I mentioned, Hutchinson, Dickey, and Burley, have to carry this club at a time when you're seeing other teams like the Yankees, for example, getting far more from Michael Pineda than a lot of people expected. The one thing I'll say is the Rays, with their injury news, and obviously nobody wants to see injury news happen like this, but with Cobb and now Smiley out for the season, the Rays are in a situation where their rotation is not going to be quite as good as I thought it might have been a couple weeks ago. So it's a division, guys, with a lot of very mediocre rotations. And if the Jays really start to get this offense going, and as they have at different times, and find a way to hold leads of the bullpen, they've got a shot to stay in there, because I don't think anybody's rotation is good enough to really reel off a lot of those 5- and 6-game winning streaks and put the division away.
Any potential sellers to the Blue Jays come, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks from now?
Well, I think that the teams that are starting to get interesting from a standpoint of selling, Philadelphia, you know, we know obviously Hamels.
Yeah, they've had the garage sale sign out in Philadelphia for a while,
For a while. The Milwaukee Brewers, I would say, the Brewers, because they're so far out of it, and you've got a situation where Loesch, I think Matt Garza could be available. Also, the team to watch on the selling side with pitching is Cincinnati. Now, I mentioned Cincinnati because they've got Johnny Cueto and they've got Mike Leake. I don't think the Reds want to sell before the All-Star break because they're hosting the All-Star game. Their owner, Bob Castellini, always wants to go for it, so I don't think he's going to want to sell when the whole industry is coming to his town for the All-Star game. So I don't expect that's going to happen before July 14th, but afterward, I think Johnny Cueto and certainly Mike Leake would be very good acquisitions. And then one last team I'll mention, Oakland, with Scott Kazmir, a left-handed pitcher. You know, Kazmir, I think, is obviously shown in the past he can get it done in the American League East, and he's been in the American League now for a number of years again since his comeback. Mm-hmm. So I would say Kazmir could be a nice little possibility if the Jays are able to swing that.
I'd like me some Scott Kazmir. Give me some Kazmir. I would love.
A lot of teams. Hey, now, I mean, the Jays, one point about this I'll make about the Jays' big picture, guys, is there has been so much talk about the strength of the farm system, and this is sort of a good news, bad news thing. They had, obviously, the huge trades a few off seasons ago, and Noah Syndergaard makes his debut this week. It's important to note, they're doing something right, at least on the acquisition side of things. Syndergaard comes in, he pitched tremendous. Adani Echevarria might be the best defensive shortstop in the game right now. He, of course, was traded that same wintertime, as was Jake Marisnyk. So you talk about adding the guys beyond and Anthony DeSclafani as well. So a lot of these top young players were traded, and I know it's hard for Jays fans to hear about it, but I guess I would put the positive spin on it and say it means that their scouts that they have in place are doing something right, because obviously those guys were all acquired at one point in time by this franchise. So I would, for a moment there, put the positive spin on that, guys.
Yeah.
What would it take, JP, to get one of those big-time pitchers? What kind of prospects? Would it start with a guy like Hoffman?
Yeah, you would have to probably give your best and or your second best prospect in the farm system. I think Hoffman probably is the guy that who would be asked about. You know, the one thing I would say is Hamels, I think, that's a lot of money, and they're going to ask for a lot of prospects. He's probably out of the question. But when you talk about the one-year rental types, and those guys you can usually have a little bit better chance at getting if you give up just one prospect as opposed to the whole farm system, so to speak. So I think Cueto and Leake, if they're patient, Scott Kazmir is also a free agent, so stay tuned there. The one interesting name, and it's gotten a little chatter this week in the industry about would he be available, the Nationals, they've reached, I think, a frustration point with Steven Strasburg. So you wonder, if the relationship there goes south in the next few weeks, is it possible? I'm not saying it's out there now because he's not, but I'm saying to watch the situation with Steven Strasburg. Because
yeah.
if things go south from a relationship standpoint, he's got a 6.06 ERA, so it's not as though he's tearing up the league right now anyway. Stay tuned there. We'll see what the Nationals end up doing at the deadline.
Yeah, he gave up, 7 runs and 3 1/3 the other day, which is not Steven Strasburg, so we'll see. But thanks for your time. John Paul Morosi, appreciate it, and best of luck with your NHL bracket.
Yeah, my thank you very much. My pleasure. Hopefully my baseball picks are better, although I fear that they won't be. So
okay,
we'll see how they go.
Hey, you have a great day.
You too.